Yes, sir. And welcome to Road to Damascus, where it's not about the road, it's about the journey. On our special 100th episode of Road to Damascus. Before I introduce the people that's going to help me navigate this ship, let me tell you how you can participate. You can participate by reaching us via email. That's Road to Damascus. That's Road, the number 2, Damascus at iCloud.com. Or you can reach us via social media. We're on Instagram as well as Twitter, Threads, and TikTok. And that is Road to Damascus. That's Road, the number 2, Damascus. Give us a like. Give us a follow. Tell us how much you like the show, how much you don't like the show. But all feedback and all participation is appreciated. And now on to our special 100th episode. So I didn't know how this 100th episode was going to go, but I sent out a clarion call. For those who don't know, I started Road to Damascus back in 2015 in the back office of my church, Consuming Fire, with the assistance of my pastor who's been on the show, Pastor Keith Hudson. And it started off as me and my cousin Vince and my brother Stefan. And the vision for the show was always to talk about topics that I felt weren't being tackled, weren't being talked about within church. And when I go back and listen to those early shows, man, did I not know what I was doing. But the heart and the intention was always there. I relaunched the show shortly after COVID in 2021. And it's funny because when I started this podcast in 2015, it wasn't a lot of shows like this around. And I wonder what it would have looked like if we would have stuck to it. But we restarted the show, and then it was me. And then I brought Sister Lauren, my cousin, on. I brought the rabbi, and then Stefan was with us. And then, you know, things happen and Lauren hasn't always been able to be on, and neither has Stefan. But me and Shonda have been trudging along and we've had great feedback, great success. I've loved where the podcast has gone and where it'll eventually continue to go. But this means a lot to me to reach 100th episode. So let me introduce. I'm going to start with one of the original hosts of the show who has graced us with his presence today. Mr. Vincent Warren, say what's up to the people, V.
Yo. He put his P sign up to y'all.
It's good to see you, V. Welcome back.
AKA known as Mr. Dominate.
Mr. Dominate on the social medias. Stefan is not with us today. He was the original co-host. Some things came up. He was supposed to be here, but we'll all catch him slipping in the parking lot.
Okay.
That voice. I know y'all know that voice is a voice y'all haven't heard in a very, 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 very long time.
Okay, not too much.
It's very, very, 6 months. Very, 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 very. No, the beautiful, the talented, the psalmist, the prophetess, the beautiful, the one who adds levity, but also will give you these hands. The one, the only, Lolo. Say what's up to the people, Lolo.
Hey, world. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Glad to be here.
And last but certainly not least, our returning champion, the one, the only, the seer of seers, the prognosticator of prognosticators, the one who's dropping dimes and passing them to. Now we can pretty soon be calling her an accomplished best New York Times best-selling author. I have my copy of the book right here. What If I Win? The one, the only, the rabbi. Say what's up to the people, Rabbi.
Shonda.
What's
Shonda.
Up, everybody? Shonda. Love that intro.
Hey, when you ready to do this book tour, who going to be introducing you?
You.
It better be me.
That's it.
It better be me. But before we get into the God is gotten, and I'll explain that to them, but Shonda, her book finally released this week. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Me and Shonda, I'm going to make sure the next episode, episode 101, will be one-on-one with me and you. Okay. Talking exclusively about your book.
That's right.
And so it'll be more good of an interview format. Okay. I mentioned this last week, I had the privilege of reading Shonda's book before she released it. Right. And I wrote her a beautiful review.
Yes.
That I will also read on the air. I read that review to my mom, and she was like, "You really sound like a book critic or
you
something."
Really did.
With me being privileged enough to be one of the first ones to read the book, I wanted to give proper feedback and let you know that I was proud of what you had done. So we will be talking about her book, What If I Win? It is a beautiful, beautiful book. Please go out and support. If you love this show and listen, the number one thing you can do is show love to the rabbi and buy her book. Again, it is on Amazon. What If I Win? We've posted the link. It is on Instagram. I'll be posting it on my own personal social media. I just got my copies yesterday. Even though I have a pre-copy saved in a PDF, I did order a couple copies because it's important to support the people that you love and the work that they do. And Shonda put her heart and soul into this book, so I'm proud of you. I love you. And you get a...
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No problem. No problem. So... how we start the show now, Lolo, it's been a while, as we talk about how God has been guiding for you this week. So I will start with you, Rabbi, since you know the protocol. You tell us how God has been guiding for you this week, then you, Lolo, and you, Pooh, and then we'll start the show.
Well, I mean, I'll just start with the obvious. I do have, these are your books, but this is the first time that I've physically seen the finished product. And it has been a labor of love. It has been a journey for sure. This is like my life in pages. Some stuff you know and some stuff you don't know.
Well, I know everything.
Yeah, you know everything. but realizing that your story, giving people your story, the good, the bad, the ugly, the shocking, the unbelievable at times, you know, you give them everything about you that they could use to hurt you with or that they could use to try and destroy you with. But God takes those things because he wastes nothing. He takes those things and makes beautiful memorials of worship for him with those things. So to see this, you know, in this form right here is just a beautiful memorial and reminder that God wastes nothing and that he has been with me from the beginning.
Amen.
And that he has taken all those pieces and made a beautiful mosaic that honors him and glories him. So that's how he's been guiding for me this week.
Amen. Lolo?
I mean, I guess since I haven't been here for 6 months, I guess I can kind of tell y'all what I've been up to and just how God has been guiding. So one of the reasons why I haven't been here is because of school. So I'm in school, everybody.
Congratulations.
Yes, I'm in school for finance. So after this semester, which is over on Monday.
All right.
I have two classes left, and I will have my degree.
All right.
Okay? So
good job.
Definitely got it with that. And then the second thing that God has been guiding for is, I think we said previously, you know, I'm the youth pastor at my church. This year, last year, has been so amazing for my youth and myself and just the ways that they have pushed me and challenged me to grow. So just to see how we have been blossoming, have been, God been really guiding with that. Like, yeah. They my little besties. So... yeah, so God has definitely been guiding with that too. So,
amen.
And my kid loves you,
and I love him too.
He just thinks you are the best thing ever.
I'm his church auntie, and I'm his sometimes his church auntie. Then I'm when his friend come around, then I'm his best friend because you know they be fighting over stuff.
Pooh, how's God been guiding for you?
For me, I think it's a little different. It's just. It's not more of a weekly thing with me. It's just more of a seasonal. So I know this with me, I ain't seen me in a while because I've been literally focused on my outreach, just dominate. And I really firm believe everybody just can dominate in life. No matter where you come, trying to say, you can use that. God makes a mosaic out of it. Just because you're struggling or been struggling don't mean that you're going to lose.
Absolutely.
And that's why I like her book, What If I Win? Because the title of just a lot of the season that I'm in right now is, this is the winning season. And so I'm in a season of right now family. You know what I'm saying? I believe that this is the time that God bringing families back together. So broken families, people that have issues, God's bringing that back together because this what's going to propel you forward. And I think God's been guiding with me and my family, because if you knew the story where my family come, dang, like,
I didn't see that happening.
So yeah. People that didn't know, Lauren, this is my blood sister.
Right. Yeah.
So for us to be as adults on the podcast is something just great to me, because I wouldn't know. I even would have been here 10 years ago. Right. I wasn't thinking about no podcast or.
Yeah. And it's been what, man, 9 years, 2015.
Wow. And then not even doing next with my cousin and my sister. That's crazy.
Right. Yeah. So, well, thank you for that. Just real quick with me. God has been guiding. One, because I'm doing 100th episode of this podcast. Absolutely. Again, this was a labor of love, a ministry for me. I wanted to get into the marketplace ministry because I feel like that is a part of the ministry we never talk about. Everybody believes that you have to be on the pulpit, but there is a marketplace out here. Shonda always knows, I always talk about Acts. And when Paul went to Athens and the people met every day and they would talk about these different beliefs, and Paul noticed the statue of the unknown God, and he said, oh, it ain't unknown. I'm going to tell you about the God that I know.
Right.
And I feel like my mission was to get on this podcast every day and talk about the God that I know through relationship and the importance of relationship. So that's one. The second thing is, and I just got to shout out my princess. She dances called Motor City Dance Factory, and they cleaned house this weekend. They swept every category. When they do these dance competitions, I just need y'all to understand, it's about 20, 30 different companies there. They clean house.
I know that's right.
Yeah. And she's doing her thing. And then we had parent-teacher conference this week. She's doing excellent in school. Just a couple little tweaks. She kind of reminds me of myself, which.
What, being a socialite?
Yeah, well, no. Okay. I was a good student. but I was a social butterfly. Mm-hmm. And so she has a lot of that. So, you know, just trying to help her understand, like, don't just do enough. Do more than enough. Because that was my thing. I was a B student. I could have been an A student, but it was like, I'll just do enough to get on by. And, you know, but I'm proud of her and everything that she's doing. And lastly, I'm just appreciative of my tribe. That's how God has got. The fact that I sent out the clarion call, Lauren came, V came. I know Stefan wanted to be here, but he's, like I said, is finishing up some projects.
Yeah,
but
he a boss.
Yeah,
the
but.
Boss can get 30 minutes off. So.
But I just appreciate that my tribe came out, especially for this episode, because it was meaningful to me. So I appreciate you guys for that. So on to the show. When I started this podcast, like I've mentioned before, I had a lot of intentions of it. But the main thing was marketplace and talking about things that I felt like God, that we weren't talking within the body of Christ. When I say church, I mean the body of Christ, not the physical building. And we've come a long way, good, bad, and ugly. We've seen the good side of ministry. I've seen the bad side of ministry. 2015, Pooh, remember we were having talks about voting for Trump and if he was going to become president, and we seen a President Trump presidency and what that looked like, and was shocked at how the church looked. But my first question, and I'll start with you, Rabbi, is in the time that you've been on the podcast, which I believe has been 3 years, 2021, what has changed for you as far as the way you look at ministry and the way you attack being a marketplace minister?
Excuse me. I think one of the things that changed was I was one of the people who thought, because I'm a teacher, I know exactly what my call is. I'm not confused about it. I thought I would be teaching in church. You know what I mean? I just figured that was the pathway. And it wasn't happening like that for me. And since we here, we honest in here.
Right, yeah.
Well, I'm honest everywhere, but
you know, just at the wrong table,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't happening like that, and so I actually went through this period where I felt like I'm not a bad teacher, I'm pretty good at what I do, and why are all these, you know, invitations and accolades coming outside of church, but not inside? And it did seem like there were people being used who were not teachers or not apt to teach, you know, because the church is the one place where you don't have to know how to do what you say you call to do. I haven't figured that out yet. I'm still trying to figure that out. So, you know, the invitation to come here, it just gave... It is the truth. You can be a singer in church.
She on fire. We 16 minutes in.
You don't have to sing.
Right.
You know, you could be a preacher. You don't have to be able to preach. You could be a teacher. You
don't know the English language.
And you can be an apostle without NAN ministry planted nowhere. I haven't figured it out.
When you do, get back with me.
It was frustrating at times. And so it was a door open. The invitation to come here as a co-host, it opened up so many other doors. It was like the beginning of God showing me that, hey, there's ministry for you. It doesn't need to be within these four walls because it is a ministry without walls. And we are always trying to harness and box in what God has given us that should be spread out.
Amen. Amen. Low?
Well, for me, I have always... Unless I know you, I'm not going to talk to you. So being invited to come here on the podcast, number one, got me out of my comfort zone. So even though I'm in a group, I'm in a room with people that I know and I'm comfortable with and that I love, but the reality of the situation, there are so many listeners out here that we've never seen before, never spoken to before. We might not ever meet you in person.
Absolutely.
But here we are ministering to strangers. And so for me, it got me out of my comfort zone enough to understand that I do have a voice and I can speak. You know, I do know the word well enough to be able to talk about it. I do.
Amen.
I do have an understanding and revelation enough to be able to plant seeds. And I think even for me, when it... That even got me more comfortable to be able to talk to the youth and be transparent. Because one thing we do here on the podcast, pre-recording
and during the show,
is we're honest and we're transparent. And I don't think I've ever been in a space where I actually can be transparent and open to say, hey, this is where I'm at. But that's so important as a believer to have a group of people that you can be 1,000% honest with to say, look, y'all, this is where I'm at. And then you take those seeds and you take those things that you learn and you take it to other places. So some of the things that I've learned here, I apply it to other areas of my life, and I've just seen it grow. So,
amen. So, Pooh, you was one of the early ones. I don't even think it was Dominate during 2015, or had you just started?
I think that was around my quitting season.
Well, at least you was coming to the podcast.
At least you was coming to the – but
we all had one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So 9 years later – Where is Vince at with his ministry, his marketplace ministry?
So I mean, like I said, for one, if you go on my Instagram page, Dominate with an A instead of an E, you'll see one of my videos talks about literally the transition that I've had, which coming starting from CCW to quitting to going back to Dominate, and I feel like right now I'm in a full fledged mode of pushing forward. Because unlike many people, I don't have nothing else. You know, a lot of people got options. You know, you can be a teacher. You can go to school. You can be in the health field. You know what I'm saying? But God told me, bro, if anything you want outside of the norm, you got to do what I told you to do. So he kind of put me against the wall. So he know I have big aspirations, big dreams. I want to take care of my family. So like, okay. He told me, if you do what I want you to do, I'll do for you what you asked me to do. Mm-hmm. So it's like...
It's So a fair exchange ain't no robbery.
For sure.
Right.
But then, like, he gave me, so he let me do what I like to do. He, like, I'm a firm believer, God doesn't change who you are. He changed what you do. So what I am, you, for me, you get me as I am.
Absolutely. Well, you that's how it should be. I think the one thing that we've been able to do on this podcast, because I remember when me and Shonda first kind of linked up, you know, I'm always skeptical of church people. I'm just gonna let you know when you within the church hierarchy pool, I'm already looking at you cross-eyed like.
But I feel like we gotta be so careful of that, because I was at the homeboy on the Breakfast Club, and there's so many people down in church people.
But see, we talked about that on the previous podcast. He wasn't downing church. He was downing the system.
No, of course. But sometimes we have to be mindful when we talk about, you know, I grew up in a house where my old dude used to tell us, keep family business in the house. So I believe when you have church issues, you keep it in the church.
But is it when you get on
that big of platform, and literally you say that type of stuff, you got people that literally is on the fence of coming to church, and then they don't come.
Well, I'll just say this to you. I understand what you're saying, but sometimes when we tell people keep family business in family, that can be unhealthy. Because when you have the uncle that is the handsy uncle, and you don't do nothing about the handsy uncle with the kids, and we just, everybody in the family know that don't leave the kids with this uncle, but y'all leave them with that uncle anyway. Or not leave them, but you be like, hey, where's baby? Oh, he, no. Why? Like, we all know, and we just act like it ain't no problem. A lot of times when we keep stuff in-house, that's because we don't want to address the issue. And if you don't address the issue, it'll never change.
But you just said two things there. When I said keep it in the house, I didn't say not handle it in the house.
But we not handling it. That's the thing, though.
That's the problem. I said, when you say keep it in the house, so we come from a hot household. When we keep it in house, that means we're handling it in the house. So right, we're not going to let the cousins, the uncles, and see what. So like me, I can have a problem with Lauren. We can have a disagreement outside. Y'all never know.
Right.
Because to the outside people, literally you come from times where.
Well, if you and Lauren had a problem, I know, because Lolo got a good poker face.
But she can attest.
Oh, no, I know.
You can have people that literally try to come and sabotage what's inside. So you know what I'm saying? So if somebody could come in and sabotage what's inside, they could pull it apart. So if we're going to have a disagreement, don't mean that it's not going to get solved. Or it's not. We're gonna
go ahead, Lolo.
I was just saying. I don't think in that setting that's what he was trying to do. Right. I think that he could have explained it better. But I agree with what he said.
Everything he said, I agree with.
To me, it is how people view the church. It's not the church. It's the people in the church.
Right.
So you set up these systems and they don't work.
Right.
You put these people in these places and it doesn't work.
Shonda just said that church is the only place that you don't have to be able to do the things that you've been called to do. That there is no sense of do you know how to do this?
There's no sense of excellence.
Right.
It's not. And I don't think it's the fault of the individual.
Right.
Because from the outside looking in, if I'm looking at you and you're a minister and you look great, you are well put together, like, man, there's a part, let me emulate that.
Right.
So I'm a preacher. There's no system of checks and balances now to prove that or to assist with
you just
that.
Say you a preacher.
Because back in the day, you couldn't do that. You couldn't just go and say, I'm a preacher, and then there you go. They put you up, and then it wasn't like that. I think we have relaxed a lot of those things, and then we've put these systems in place that have taken over the checks and balances. And so now you have something that it's called church, But then when you get inside, you see that it's really not. Because we know what the body of Christ is. We know how it functions and how right. it's supposed to. It's in Acts. It's giving you its identity. But some of these things, some of these people have erected buildings that they call churches. There's no identity of Christ in there at all. It's all people.
I think we give more.
Go ahead, say.
I think we give more backlash to the church than we give with anybody else. When I was in the street, what club was all right? What grocery store was all right? What mall was all right? Every system is broken somewhere.
But isn't the church supposed to be the one place that is perfect? But if we are doing it
or striving towards
to be perfect,
people are not perfect.
Absolutely.
Right. So you have a person running the system, it's going to be broken somewhere. I give a perfect example. So being under Pastor Keith, somebody come and pat Pastor Keith's church here, but oh well, he don't have a mega church, he doesn't have the biggest church, but he's productive and what he let God use, God uses him in ways that I've never seen big churches do.
Absolutely,
that's not. I mean, it's some things in there that I wish was fixed for sure.
Absolutely,
but it's some errors in our church is broken. But that doesn't mean it's not a bad church. I wouldn't still tell people, hey, if you Pastor Keith is he's A1.
I say it all the time.
Yeah. No, but this is the thing. I'll use this analogy, and I don't know if I used this when we talked about the topic, but we're all black in here.
Are we?
Some of us
a little. Oh, see, we ain't about to do that. You know, we ain't about to do that.
We are all African.
Hey, don't let the beige patrol come at you, Shonda, because we will gang up. No, but when one black person does something wrong, we get looked at it as a community that we all are that way. Would you agree or disagree with that? Most of the time,
yeah, for sure.
The church is the same way. When one pastor get caught doing something, don't matter if they Methodist, no matter if they Episcopalian, no matter if they Catholic, no, the whole body gets lumped in. And we have to understand there's different denominations. We all know this. The outside world doesn't. And so I understand what you mean, and Lauren even said it. He could have explained it better. But when I complain about the United States of America, as a black person, I'm looked at as, well, you should. No, I'm complaining about the system. I don't want to live nowhere else but where I'm at. But the system, systematic racism, systematic systems that allow for black women to die disproportionately to white women, systems that will lock up a black person three times more that gets caught with marijuana than a white person, systems that will
pay black women less money than their white counterparts.
Then
their
right.
She do all the work.
So when people say you shouldn't, if you don't like it here, you shouldn't live in this country. No, I live in this country, so I should be able to criticize it because I wanted to see it live up to the standards of what it said. So I criticize the church system because I want to see the church live up to the standard of what it's supposed to be, which is excellence in Christ Jesus.
I've seen people that has never went to a church a day in their life bastard to the church. And the first question I ask, have you even been to church?
Well, I mean, you're going to have people.
Wait. So now you got the church people who's been in church bashing the church.
Okay.
You got the people that don't go to church bashing the church, and you got the church people agreeing. Like, oh yeah, I agree. So what is true, it's true. But again, where do you bring people in? So how do you bring people into a system that's bad?
So I'll just say this, because we go down a deep rabbit hole.
Of course.
It's just like people getting married and you have...
Right, yeah. But I'll just say this to you, Pooh. If you had a situation where you looked around and I'll use this analogy. Say you had a family member that you knew was a trip. Female family member knew you. She was a trip. She can be vindictive. She can be spiteful. All this other stuff. One of your boys come. Hey, Pooh, your cousin cute. Put me on. Would you be like, yeah, go ahead? Or you know in your mind, I can't put you in that situation. What you gonna do?
You be honest.
Yeah, please.
Please be honest.
You be honest.
Yeah.
So where I'm at right now, Yeah, she might be a trick for me, but I still believe there's somebody for everybody. She might be a trick.
Oh, I'd be like, no. Don't you do
wait,
that?
Wait.
Tell your boy
No, but
some people don't
but
do that.
This though. Is my family. So I got to be mindful of what I'm telling my homeboy.
But I won't even say nothing. I just be like, hey. I don't think she right for you.
No.
That's all. Because I know how she can be. So, I don't want him to, like, you ain't tell me about your cousin. Wake up with the sugar in the tank.
But that's when you have to ask God, Lord, how would I do this? If I tell him no, this might take him away from all churches or take him away from all women. Or if I tell him, I'm going to tell him no about this girl, but I got to pass somebody else for him. So it's like you literally have to be mindful how you play it, because one thing I have learned, and this is just what God was dealing with me, because I would also used to think that the system is terrible. Church people only love church people. They don't. If you ain't look like them, you don't talk like them, you don't
but
sound
see,
like them.
But see, we don't say the people.
No, but I'm talking about, this is what I thought.
Right.
If you come to church with your pants sagging and your hat cocked to the sideways, they don't treat you different.
Which they will, some of them.
Of course. And I used to literally, like, kind of in a way, bash. Like, man, forget that. Like, you ain't got to go to church. You feel me? It's cool. Just relax.
Right.
You got to pray for yourself. But then the Lord was dealing with me, like, what system is not broken?
Right, but see, my thing is this. We are the body of Christ. We should not compare ourselves to other systems. We should be comparing ourselves to a godly system. And would you agree with that, Rabbi?
It's true.
So when I say, well, what system isn't broken? We shouldn't just compare ourselves to worldly systems. We are a kingdom that should be have an expectation of kingdom principles to be carried out. If we don't carry out these kingdom principles, then they need to be addressed. And the problem, and like I told Shonda, I seen more people come out and dad bash Ty Tribute for what he said, but never say anything when these pastors get caught in they mess.
I think part of the issue is that the church has been compared, or it has compared itself to the world system so much so that it has adopted
the world
some
system.
Of the world's systems to try to draw and bring the world in. Now, inside the church, you have this mixture of these two systems. That will never work. You know, can a spring bring forth fresh and salt water? Absolutely not. Would a tree produce figs and oranges? Absolutely not. So the church trying to bring forth the standard of God while incorporating some of the standards of the world to bring in more people from the world, you're divided against yourself. You make yourself look bad. Now we have a system that won't work. It's a system.
Yeah,
issue.
For sure. So
I agree.
Right.
Well, the system for sure.
Right.
I think maybe it's just. On the flip side, I do believe that, you know, a lot of stuff that the church is doing inside, kind of like you said, is
they towing the line, and you start towing the line, I'm just saying, you deal with the consequences.
Yeah, but maybe I come from a line where I'm loyal to my team.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So
if the system is broken, you ain't gonna hear from me.
Got you. That's not everybody's clarion call is to be that person that shouts from the there was only one John the Baptist. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like it wasn't two. It was just one.
Because I just feel like I know when you let an outsider in how they can cause chaos.
Yeah, but then there are also times when you don't let an outsider in, you don't have eyes to see what's happening on the inside.
For sure.
Because everybody on the inside, you're accustomed to the light in there, you're accustomed to the darkness in there, and you don't see clearly. But somebody comes in with fresh eyes, and it's, hey, they look just alike, but they're not alike. Look at that. You see the difference right there? We have to be willing.
I think that's... When I say outsider, I mean, like I said, the Bible says you usually tell us fruit by tree by fruit, fruit it bears. Mm-hmm. So you know a good outsider from a bad one. If you got somebody that's on national televised, the church is this, the church is that, hey, bro.
Right.
Even in stuff that we doing right, he going to find something that's wrong.
No, because he even said he benefited from, he's in the system. I'm benefiting from the system, so I feel more able to criticize the system that I am part of and benefiting from. You get what I'm saying? He's He's a pastor. He has a church. So he know maybe the way he runs his church is differently, but I get what you're saying. But we'll be talking about that for a whole nother hour. But I just, so let me ask you this, and I'll start with you, Lauren. So what are the things, kind of piggyback, what are the things personally that you want to see change within the system or the body of Christ that we can begin to do better to bring, to draw people in that really need to be drawn in? Because at the end of the day, we're not going to draw everybody in. Mm-hmm. And I think it's sad to think that, and we should strive to, but this thing isn't, unfortunately, for everybody. Mm-hmm. So what are the things that Lauren thinks in her mind? I think these are some of the things that we should be doing that I don't see happening.
Well, first for sure, one thing that my pastor says all the time is consistency. So we don't even hold people accountable enough so that we can be consistent. I feel like processes and things will work. The church will grow. People will come in if they see the people inside being consistent. And we have to hold each other accountable enough to be consistent, just like the podcast. Okay, I can use, when I don't come to the podcast, y'all literally say, I see Shonda on Sundays. You will call me. Hey, you coming to the podcast? Hey, we ain't seen you at the podcast. What is that? That's accountability. Y'all are holding me accountable to say, because we say all of the time, this is like church. This is a form of church that when we come together, we pray, right. We laugh, we challenge each other, we talk about the word. We have to be able to hold each other accountable. So that's something that I definitely want to see. Accountability. Like, hold me to the same standard that you would hold someone else. Like, okay, at my church, I'm not an ordained minister, right?
Absolutely.
But I still hold a role. I'm the worship leader. I'm the youth. I am held to a standard. I should be held to the same standard that the elder is held to. I should be held to the same standard that the deacon is held to. Everybody should be held to the same standard. That way we all can make sure that we are moving and working in the same direction.
In unison, absolutely.
But it's not. You can't say, all right, these five people, you get to do this. This group of people over here, they don't really come like that, so that's
but
okay.
They still get they privileges of what they...
And we're going to put them on the list. Right. So they when it's time for them once a month to come up here and do what they need to do, we're going to let them do that because we know they don't come anyway.
Right.
But you come every week.
And let you miss that one.
And then I'm going
to... Yeah.
You got to do better. You got, right. Where you at? Where you being?
Absolutely.
Everybody needs to get the same thing. So that we can go. And then when new people come in, if new people come in and they don't see you being consistent, they're going to train their mind. Because when new people come in and they're zealous and they just really excited about God, they look at the people that they see. So if they see, oh, this person come to church every single Sunday, this person come to Bible study, this person come to prayer.
And they able to do a function.
Yep. That must be what you're supposed to do when you get here.
But if I don't got to be here but once a year and I get to, oh, look who's preaching Easter service or who's preaching this. And it's like, oh, so
well,
I don't have to
do.
Come. Right. So, the standard, yeah. As Shonda would say.
Accountability.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, I mean, I piggyback off what Lauren said. So, a lot of times I've seen people don't know their role. So, you got the choir rehearsal trying to be the deacon. The deacon trying to be the pastor. The usher trying to be the treasurer.
You know what that sounds like to me, Shonda?
A broken system.
No, of course. No. No, of course. I said the system.
No, I know. No, I'm not messing with you. I'm teasing with you.
I said the system is broken, but y'all would never hear me say that in front of a person that's bashing the church.
Right.
Well, no. I think.
You understand?
I get what you're saying.
You would never hear me say that because that's loyalty.
So what you're saying,
I think if Lauren is talking to an outside person and that outside person is bashing me and she agree like,
oh, well, that's different.
It's going up. You feel me? It's going up.
That's different.
Hey, never agree with that.
No. You can't be in front of me and talking bad about the rabbi and think that I'm just going to be like, wow. Yeah, I mean, I can see. No,
Do you even know her?
Of course.
But we still have to acknowledge that there are. Now I can defend her. Then when I see her, I'll be like, Shonda.
It's something we gotta fix.
It's
something we gotta fix.
That's still accountability. Issue with that is the people in this room know me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When you get on a global scale, like such as the church, everybody knows something about, you know, the church in some aspect. So everybody, whether I'm in it or out of it, they're touched by it or close to it. So is it really an outsider? I mean, you're not all the way in, but I've seen it enough. So I'm talking to you about what I've seen. So for someone to say, this, you know, I don't go to church.
Right.
They have a reason for that.
Absolutely.
And they'll tell you, I don't go. I had somebody tell me, I don't go because I used to go and the pastor put his hand on my thigh and rubbed his hand up my thigh. Well, and she was like, so I'm not going back.
Well,
you know? And I can say to her, mm-hmm. all pastors aren't like that.
For sure.
Right.
For sure.
You know, but that's her introduction.
And that's her. You can't validate any.
Right.
In,
and so she would be the one on the Breakfast Club
so
talking
again,
about.
Is that a system or is that the person?
Well, you know what? I'm going to say a little bit of this. It's a little bit of both. Because if the system weren't broken, they wouldn't allow to be in place like that.
Because somebody should have caught it.
Because that wasn't the first thigh. Yeah, well, that ain't the first thigh.
Somebody should have caught it when they first came in.
No, of course. So now it comes back to not handling in-house problems.
Well,
got to be a secret.
No.
Because it's in-house.
But just because... So, saying and doing is two different things.
Absolutely.
Saying is one thing. Doing is another.
But the thing that I was, when was the last time you saw, honestly, a church that really sat down, pastor had a meeting, we coming together, and it wasn't no normal meeting, and said, we need to address A, B, C,
That's
and
what I'm
D. I've often said this. The epistles, that's what the epistles were. Paul would see what the problem in that particular church was, and he would address it. To me, the shepherd of the house needs to see the issues within his home and address it. And a lot of times, unfortunately, some pastors see the issues, but they're profiting from the issues, so they don't say anything because if I'm profiting from the issues, why am I going to address it? So instead of addressing it, I'm just going to let a swag surf with a DJ in here.
And that goes back to a broken system. For sure.
I mean, you understand what I'm saying, Lord? Because you know what? Businesses do that. I know that my chemicals from my plant is getting into this water, killing the locals. But because I'm making money from this, and I have a fiduciary responsibility to my shareholders to make them money, I'm not going to address that. I am going to pay a politician to make it go away.
That goes back to...
Am I right, Lauren?
That goes back to a saying...
Yes, you are correct.
That goes back to a saying... I just heard this 2 weeks ago. The man was like, you know what? If God was to leave some of these churches would still function.
Absolutely.
Like nothing was broken.
Yeah, because it's a business.
It's a business. See, God can leave the building. He will never leave the church. The church is his bride. He will never leave... He can leave every building.
Because
the church is...
It's a people.
It's... Period. Asgard is not
a place.
A place. It's a people. The church is not a place. It's a people.
Of course.
So we as a people need to understand and be able to say the things that we say. And you go on YouTube, I see more videos of feedback against people who do podcasts or people who do other videos ripping each other. And what we do, because when this show blows up eventually, because we will, it's going to be people on there like, man, they got that one sister on there, Shonda, the short hair. I don't know what that's all about. Then the Lauren, I don't know what she about. The one brother, he ain't consistent. And the pastor, I'm just saying, they'll rip this podcast.
Let me ask this. So system is so broken. Why do we keep going back?
Because
we're not there for the system.
Right.
No, I'm saying some restaurants. So I know if some restaurants so bad, I'm not going back. I'm the type of person.
But I am going to write a review.
If I go to a McDonald's and throw up,
you're not keeping it inside.
Wait. I'll give you an example. There are over 10,000 McDonald's in America. Not every McDonald's is the same. So no, I don't go to the McDonald's on 8 Mile because the McDonald's on 8 Mile.
The ice cream machine always broke.
Always broke. But I go to the one over here because that's a better. So that's why you have people. I had a friend, him and his mom lived in Southfield. They were going to church in Youngstown, Ohio every Sunday to Norman Wagner's church. Mm-hmm. They driving to, that's what, you got to wake up 5:45 in the morning to get down there for the 9 a.m. service. Why? Because they found a community that was talking to them and what they were looking for. So that's all I'm saying. Most people don't go to the church that's close. Lauren driving 30 minutes to church every day.
30 minutes.
Shonda driving 30 minutes to church every day. I get up and go to the bathroom Sunday.
He ain't lying.
You know what? Lies are being told.
We gonna work on that.
So look.
We're trying to remainder.
My homeboy, I took my homeboy to church 2 Sundays ago. And my homeboy, he shoot my videos. And he more of, he wear hat, hood. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people wouldn't even receive him. But he a good brother, good solid dude. He knows scripture. He ain't what he look like. Mm-hmm. So I brought him to church with me, and he sat in church. So I asked him like, "How you like it?" I don't want to go to a church that hooting and hollering and stomping. And you understand? Like he don't like that type of church. He liked the church that's straight teaching. Mm-hmm. So I said, maybe you need to go to Bible class then. Some people.
Well, you
understand what I'm saying?
But the thing is this. There's a church for everybody. Whatever you like, there's a church for. Right. And I'm talking about good, bad, and indifferent. If you like hooping and hollering, there's churches for that. If you like strictly teaching, there's churches for that. If you like churches that cater to the LGBT community, there's churches for that. If you want to go to church that don't cater and think that they all going to hell, there's churches for that. There's churches where they don't like black people. There's churches where they don't like white people. There, anything you're looking for, that church exists. Would y'all agree with that?
Absolutely.
So there is something for everybody. You have to find what works for you. And your friend just has to find what works for him. Some people can deal with consuming fire when Pastor Keith is preaching, but they probably can't deal with consuming fire once it's the altar call and that part of the service start. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it is just about what you can receive and what you can't receive. Right. But before I forget, Rabbi, same question to you, and I know I got to go back to what the question was because we went down a couple rabbit holes, but what are some of your biggest gripes that you would like to see within the system that can truly, in a positive way, begin to affect the body of Christ when we say the church?
I don't know if it's a gripe, but there's a scripture that says, "With loving kindness have I drawn you." And I think that we don't allow God to do that with other people. We don't allow God to draw people because we think we know how to do it. And I think if God's people really allowed God to guide through them, we would have less frustrations and less irritations. We would have less systematic issues. So I would like to see more people really show the real love of God, which is not always warm and fuzzy, because there is no love without correction. There's no love without discipline. And I think if we did that, and if we just gave people the truth, the word would do the work. You know, the word would do the work. I think we have so many outsiders because people who are hurt and abused inside become outsiders. And they go outside to tell their stories because they're not being heard on the inside. And the African proverb says, a child not embraced by the village will burn it down to feel its warmth. So,
absolutely.
The best way to keep people from the outside from doing damage is to stop hurting them inside.
So yeah,
that's,
no,
that's what I would like to see.
I agree. Now, that right there was a gem, because I agree, because I think I brought it up on the last podcast that me and Shonda did, was we have people in place that have not dealt with their trauma. And I'm talking about pastors who are anointed from God, who have a great ministry, but they still have traumas they haven't dealt with. And you can only raise as high as somebody's trauma that has been dealt with. So if my trauma is to hear, we ain't getting past my trauma. But if I open my trauma up and allow myself to be healed, not only spiritually, but secularly as well, we have to understand that there is a spiritual healing and a secular healing that needs to happen.
Absolutely.
Us as church people, we look so much for that spiritual healing, and God can do exceedingly and abundantly. But there are some things on this side that we have to address, whether it be with the way we were brought up, the way our parents were, the issues we may have had with our mothers and our fathers, that they were there or they weren't there. I mean, I remember, and I'll just speak to myself, putting family business out there, because I know my dad wouldn't mind this, but there were times my mom and dad weren't married and I felt like my dad wasn't there enough. So me and him had a conversation when I became older, and I shared with him the resentments that I had towards him for not being there. When I felt like he never came to any of my football games, but then I see him for all my brother's football games and how that made me feel. I didn't bring that to his attention to make him feel bad. I brought that to his attention so I wouldn't carry that burden on me looking at him a certain way, because I didn't want to have that trauma anymore. And that's what Shonda says. When you love somebody, you have to let them know how they've hurt you or how they've affected you, that it can be corrected, and not sometimes just for them, but just for you, because forgiveness is never for the other person. Forgiveness is always for yourself. So when I went to my dad, we hugged, we embraced, and I got that off of me. I remember there was a time, because my parents weren't married, that when I turned about 25, I invited them both out to dinner where it was just me, my mom, and my dad. Why? Because I never had an experience of a time where it was just me, my mom, and my dad. I needed that as a closure for me as an adult to be able to deal with that, because that was something I never got the experience that I wanted to know how it felt to just be out with me, my mom, and my dad and to have a good time and a talk where it's not your daddy this, your mama that, and we just going to love on each other, love on y'all doing this for me because y'all love me.
Right.
And sometimes, back to what Shonda said, when you love somebody, these are the things that you are willing to do. I know you love me, Pooh. That's why you made the sacrifice to come here today, even though you were late, but you came. No, I'm messing with Shonda was late too. But Lauren loves me, so I know when I put it out, Lauren say, well, let me see if I got anything going on. Right. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm just, so that's how I begin to look at situations that we, that's what I want to see. I want to see us to acknowledge in within the body that there are traumas that happen outside of the spiritual realm, that we need that spiritual realm to become connected to God. But we also have to, whether it be through therapy, whether it be through friendships, whatever, that we need to address those traumas and say, this is how you affected me. This is how you hurt me. That's why when I know that I may have said something or done something to people in the past, I'll try to come back later on and say, you know what? I was crappy to you when we were growing up. I said some things, I did some things, and you might, they might not have affected you, but they've affected me enough that I still think about it. And I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
And they might say, I didn't know I needed. And I always bring up, before I turn it back to you guys, is Joyce Myers. Joyce Myers, I don't know if you ever heard her talk about her dad.
Yep.
Her dad molested her. Mm-hmm. When her dad got older, he needed to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. She took care of him. She knew what he had did. She said she thought she was over it. That time in her life, God had healed her. Her dad, before he died, apologized to her. She said she cried like a baby because she didn't know she needed that.
Right.
But when he gave it to her, she realized that trauma was still there, that little girl was still there, and that little girl needed to hear that. Mm-hmm. And that's how you are able to be set free through these things. So I just want to go
on. So one thing I live about, so I used to date this girl.
You still young.
Yeah. So like the one thing I do believe, I give people room to grow. So even if you're not around for the growth, you got to allow people to grow, because time gone, people do tend to grow in areas.
Absolutely.
I'm not the same person I was when I was 25.
Right.
She not the same girl she was when she was 20.
Woman.
Thank you.
Me and Lauren relationship was rocking. Like, you understand what I'm
right.
saying?
Right.
Yeah, we didn't talk.
On the rocks.
Rocky. We didn't communicate.
Because of where we came from. Dysfunction. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We didn't come from a household that, and by saying this, I'm saying this now because my old dude is pastor. He had said right. the whole congregation. So I'm not
right. And he, yeah. he has.
And right. he has. So yeah. my family was dysfunctional. So when dysfunction have dysfunction kids, they gonna think dysfunction is normal.
Right.
Right.
So we thought it wasn't love until it was dysfunction. Mm-hmm. So you right. knew you loved by the
by the dysfunction.
Yeah, right. yeah and you screamed and right. yelling, cussing and fighting and
yeah.
And
that's powerful. For
that,
real.
You understand yeah. what I'm saying? So yeah. that so I heard this thing and said we are more loyal to dysfunction than we are to change.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I so like that like, though. You get a Jamaican horn for that.
So it's like now I talk to my old dude all the time. So it's like more now I really appreciate where we are as a family because I could call Lauren any time of the day for anything. And so sometimes I get to the point, hey, I just love you. You understand what I'm saying? Because I had to grow as a man because I didn't hear that as a man from my old dude. Hey, I love you. You know what I'm saying? I heard that right. from my uncles. Like, my uncles, my mm-hmm. granddad, they was used to saying that. So they had said it. I heard it so much. Like, Jesus Christ, bro, stop saying this to me. But the person that I need to hear from, I wasn't hearing, so it didn't matter.
Right.
So now, as a 35-year-old man, it hit different. So now I can say it and mean it because this, it come, you know what I'm saying? I would have never knew back then. I would have never knew I let a, need to the love from my old dude like I need. I need right. it now. So I believe literally God has is timing. And I think we have to literally appreciate the trial and the tribulation because if we didn't appreciate where we was at, we'd never appreciate where we at right now. Where we came from, we never appreciate where we are.
Absolutely. But you have to be willing to say that there is a problem. Right. See, Shonda can even attest to this because she kind of mentioned it to me that somebody told her, be careful in giving your full testimony. And it's like, I'm not going to be careful because this full testimony is who I am.
Right.
And somebody needs to hear this because every part of this can affect somebody else's life, whether it be my relationships in the past or whether it be my relationships with my parents or whether it be my relationship with my dad or my mom or my sibling. All of those things can help somebody. Yeah. And unfortunately, especially within our community for a long time, because we said you keep everything in house.
You better not tell that.
But and hold on. Let me just finish before you say what you're about to say. Not only did we keep it in house, we kept it inside.
Of course. Yeah,
and that's what would kill you. That's why we were dying from strokes and heart attacks.
Or just walk around.
Right. Just angry and mean.
What you looking at?
Right. Yeah. For no reason. And because you're not mad at the person, you mad at yourself because of what the weight of that you're carrying on you.
Yeah.
I tell, like, Shonda, you can tell me your whole story.
Mm-hmm. It's in the book.
No, for sure. You can tell me your whole story, but one thing about me, I go by the scars.
Right.
Scars don't lie.
At all.
Scars do not lie. You can tell me you'd have been through World War VII. You feel me? And I'd be like, oh, okay, let me see your scars.
Right.
So I always tell people, don't hide your scars.
I say the same.
If you got a cut on your arm or cut on your neck, hey, rep that. Because it's proof that you made it out.
Right. Absolutely.
That's the testimony.
That's
so
the testimony.
I don't never hide no scars.
But the church for a long time told us to keep those scars.
Because,
don't talk about them.
Because scars are ugly.
Yeah, for sure. But
especially if it's in an area where, if it's on
it's
the eye.
Taboo.
Exactly.
You know, if it's a taboo area in churches, like if it's something that's sexual.
Right, exactly.
Know, keep that. Don't tell
them. Of course,
but
of course.
The Bible gives you a wonderful list of things, and it's so clear, and it says, and such were some of you.
And such were some of
but
you.
But I think sometimes you have to, so it goes back to friendship with me, relationship. Like you said, it's not about the religion, it's about relationship. So my relationships could literally allow me to see when and where I could be open at. Some places you can't tell your testimony because they not ready for that yet.
Right.
So if I'm a relationship with B, I can know when and how to move. That's why I say it's important to have your relationship with God because God will give you the okay.
But there are people in certain church spaces that don't want you to give it at all.
Get them.
Because they need, you know, the appearance. You know, it's aesthetics. It looks like the Stepford Wives in here. Everybody looks the same. It doesn't look like there's been any mistakes. It doesn't look like there are any slip and falls or any conscious deviations from the pathway in here. But there are. And we do need to talk about these things, because the very thing that I struggle with and I am now walking on, somebody else is drowning in it. Mm-hmm. And if we don't share that, we sit in these wonderful, beautiful places watching people just sink and die and never say, wait. I've been through that. I did that. Let me tell you how to get out. Let me show you my scars so you can use my scars as the roadmap for you to come up out of this quicksand that you're in. We don't want to do that because we too shame.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we make people feel shame.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Think about this, Vin, and I just really want you to think of, when have you ever heard something like Shonda said, sexual? And I'm not talking about perversion. I'm talking about just in the way of
just a regular sexual scene.
Yeah, sexual scene. Because we will address same sex attraction, but we won't address that the whole front row is pregnant, ain't none of them married. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Like, we'll talk about the wrongs of those things. So what I'm saying is that we have to begin to take a full world scope and understand that the church isn't the only ministry. That if we put God in those four walls, we're going to keep him in that same box. And that's what we've done. We've put God in a box. And the minute you put something in a box, it's like them game shows. Do you want box number one, box number two? And you look at the biggest box, Shonda, and you thinking to yourself, well, That's the box that I want, because it must be something bigger in that box.
But that comes to learn behavior. So if you have a church that don't share that stuff, I guarantee he came from a father who church was the same way.
The previous church. Yeah. So what I'm saying is
these older churches, they really scold at the younger generation and how they doing things, but it's the younger generation that's fearless and literally shaking stuff up.
Yeah, but the Bible talks about wiser but weaker, because they're innovative, they're trying things, but they're not as spirit. The minute the storm hit, the boat shake a little. All right, go back to shore, because this storm is like Lauren, if it started raining right now, Shonda and Lauren don't have umbrellas, but they black women, you know how they feel about their hair.
You
gonna run through right? Just kind of do a light jog to get to your car. Some people be like, no, I gotta wait for this rain to pass because I can't get this.
You gonna stay here for 5 hours? It's time to move forward.
Bro, I seen the radar. This storm ain't. You got some time.
You got to get up out of here. We gotta lock up.
Right. So I think it can be a lot of that. I'm glad you're here bringing this, because I like to have somebody that doesn't always see eye to eye. Not that you're completely disagreeing with us, but you having a different point of view than what we look at it.
And then one thing about me that I've just learned, like, it took me a while to kind of develop it, but. So, the relationship that I have with God, before I even open my mouth and speak, God tell me, hey, don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that.
Shucks, that's the Holy Ghost. Everybody need that.
Yeah, but you understand, it's been a while for me to hear it.
Whatever.
But it's been a while for me to actually hear it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You may sometimes be so much confusion, you don't hear it. It's said, but you don't hear it. So now I'm actually hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, it's like I said, you got to have the time to speak. So like, even my testimony, I put a clip of it on the video. Because I asked God, like, Lord, what can take my stuff to the next level? And he told me, start speaking your truth. I'm like, oh, shoot. I don't know about that, because I got a rep. You understand what I'm saying? He said, your truth is what's going to bring people that's like you.
Absolutely.
So
your testimony.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, my close people know, but like people, I tell you one thing. Many people don't know I've been in diabetic size 3.
Mm-hmm.
I hid that for years. You understand? I don't know why, but
even from the people at work.
Yeah, okay. I hear that for nobody never knew.
Got having episodes at
right.
Work
nobody know,
but wrong no, with them. Nobody knew because I felt shame of that. Like, no, because I'm not like everybody else.
Okay.
So when I ask her, like, what should I do to take me to the next level? He told me start talking your truth.
But that's that's growth for you too.
Yikes. Right.
Right.
Yeah, but that's how it should be for all of us. But is
I did that. Mm-hmm. And when I did that, it was like, okay, I was getting more feedback.
Then. Yeah, but because you have set yourself free.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Once you set yourself free, you're able to set other people free.
Yeah, like that rap battle. Sorry to cut you off. You know that rap battle that was on 8 Mile when Eminem came out? He said everything
that you was going to say.
Right. Can say.
Yeah. Right.
What you going to say?
Not what you going to say about me. And nothing. That's where.
Pull the teeth from a shark, you can swim with it all day.
All day. And what we'll talk about it with Shonda's book. Shonda's very transparent in her book, more than she's ever been on the podcast, mm-hmm. more than she's ever been with maybe people who don't know her. But she said the free, like, okay, God, as she writing it, is like, I guess we doing this.
I literally said that because I was writing. I was like, wait, you want me to talk about that? You want me to talk about that? And that. Okay, like there are people who know certain things about me. Nobody knows how I grew up. You know what I mean? Nobody knows.
Because you grew up in the South.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't grow up here. So not many people here know these stories or these things that I've gone through. They don't know.
Absolutely.
And I was like, I'm about to put it all out. And I didn't get nervous until it was finished.
Me too. Same way.
Right.
Like, okay.
I think I did that. I pressed, so I recorded it. You know, yep. Sometimes you gotta press
look
scene.
At it.
Like, I was driving too, looking around like, oh man.
Right. And I thought of all the people who gonna see it.
Of course.
And
for
I was
sure.
Like, okay, sure. I gotta send this to the publisher. And I thought, wait. Literally, I was like, okay, Brock gonna see this. Lauren gonna see this. I thought of all the people who were close to me, who I knew would buy it if I wrote Green Eggs and Ham.
Right.
They would buy it just because they love me. And I thought of all the people who's gonna buy this book, and I was like, wait.
They gonna know everything.
They about to know everything.
Everything.
And I was like, oh, I gotta push the button. Like, I gotta push the button. And I sat with it for like an extra day to gather myself, to let my body feel everything I was feeling, let everything that needed to come to the surface. Okay, now I can push the button. But I did that because I'm like, I'm out here now.
Right, I'm like, out
it's
here.
Out, it's out here now.
It's out here. And really, it's really out here now.
Really out here.
Hey, B, you know what's crazy? So I can relate to you what you said about your old dude because, you know, I went to therapy for 6 months over this stuff that I dealt with. And so the therapist told me one of the trillest things ever at anybody have ever told me, have you ever had a conversation with y'all dude? I sat back. Like, you know what? Never. It always been bickering, always been.
Because you were upset.
No, not even that. It was not even upset. It was just never a sit down and have
man
a
to man.
Man to man. Mm-hmm. Maybe because I wasn't a man. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? But when she told me, and mind you, I was 30 years old. I wasn't no.
Right.
Boy, I was 30.
Mm-hmm.
So she like, when you go have this conversation, have no expectation. And I think that's one of the things that we tend to have is the expectation. Oh, they're going to hug it out. Mm-hmm. So when you don't get that, you think nothing was accomplished.
Right.
So I no expectation. He could have said, okay, and I would have been straight.
Right.
So mind you, I went to go get a haircut. I'm pumped up. I'm telling myself, yeah, I'm about to go do this. I'm about to go handle this. You feel? You got, you know, us men, we got to big ourselves
right.
up. Right. So I'm driving here. And then it switched. Man, you know, you got to go bust this move. You got to bust. I'm about to turn around. Like, you know what? No, you
got
to.
I got six other things I can
sure.
do.
For sure. So right. It was literally like slow motion. So I'm like, no, I got to do this. So I went down there and I'm like, hey, let me holler at you for a minute. He's like, what's up? I'm like, bro, what happened? Just simple as that, bro. What happened?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are we like this? So it was a 10-minute conversation. Basically, it was like, I got a house when I was 18. I went to the service. All I knew is what my old dude showed me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like generational.
Absolutely.
So when he said that, it was like a lot of stuff started making sense. Like, sometimes we hold people accountable for stuff that they don't know from themselves. So how can you do what you don't know?
Right.
Let the wheat and the tare grow together. That's why he'll do the separating. Right. We can't.
We always try to. You ever tried to pull a, you buy something, you try to pull the tag off of it so they don't see, and now you got a mess, you know, because it didn't come off easy. Mm-hmm. Because we try to pull it off. It's like that. He's like, look, let me separate the wheat and the tare because you don't know how to pull this apart. And you're right. Going to tear something. You're going to rip something off that one. You're going to scratch this one. You're going to draw blood over here. You're going to tear the skin. Because we don't know how to do that. We do it emotionally.
Absolutely.
God's going to do it righteously.
Absolutely. Well, folks, we are 1:10 in. Mm. It don't even seem like it. And I know. Vince got to leave soon. No, but that was
glad to be together. Hey, uh-huh.
You know what? That was good conversation. No block is hot this week. But I'm just going to let everybody, for the 100th episode, I'm just going to let everybody close how they want to close and what Lord got on your heart to say. So I'm going to go. Normally I go ladies first, but I know you got to leave, Vince. So I'll start with you, V, and let you go ahead and give your close.
I'll just tell you what I heard yesterday. The Lord told me basically yesterday, obedience is greater than sacrifice. A lot of times we try to give more than doing. Giving is good, but the Lord wants you to be obedient now. This is the season that if you want to win, you got to follow directions. Just because you give time or you give stuff doesn't mean that you don't get to where you want to get. And I main believe when God give me something, first is for me. So I believe that this is the season of winning. I appreciate the 100th episode. I appreciate everybody here. You know what I'm saying? I've really changed. You understand what I'm saying? Just in this
you
season,
sure did.
The season of you my did. Life, I'm more.
You a good man. That's a good man.
I'm big on family. I love Absolutely. My family. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? No matter what anybody did, I'm big on family. I believe that every child needs a father, no matter if it's biological or father figure. Every child needs a father and a mother, but I think preferably a father because he's the head of the house. And I'm really big on that right now. And I just want everybody to win.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks, V. Lolo, what you got?
Well, first, I just want to start the podcast off. You know, I just want to say I love my daddy. We have a good father.
Oh, no, I know. That's your role, dog.
That's my role, dog, my best friend. I just had to say that because, you know, hey, daddy, I know you might be listening. But, no, on a serious note, I just really want to take time to thank each of you. Coming on to the podcast, Vince is my brother. Steph is my cousin. Brocky is my cousin, more like a brother. Like, we all grew up as siblings. And then Shonda, when Shonda came, I think Shonda was here before me.
No, mm-hmm. You were here.
I was here?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't coming like that.
Right.
Yeah, you know I'd be coming in and out. So Shonda was, like, more consistent. But anyway, I literally was able to develop friendships and I literally was able to develop a circle of people that I could be 1,000% myself with. Mm-hmm. It's literally a no judgment zone. Like, the past 3 to 4 years of my life has been a whirlwind. It's been crazy. And to be able to come here with this group of people that not only encouraged me, they loved me. They challenged me. Y'all held me accountable, and y'all kept me grounded. I just want to say that I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. I honor y'all. I value y'all. Y'all are my people. So just thank you, and cheers to 1,000 more episodes.
Hey, man, listen at her. Hey, I'll take that. And I love you too, Lolo. Rabbi.
Actually, my clothes is kind of simple. Well, I do want to say, too, and that I love it here. This is like our church before church. It's always good when we come here. Places where you could just be you, fully authentic. this is how we should show up in every single room. Every room you're in, be fully you. Like, we can no longer afford to compartmentalize parts of us to make anybody else feel comfortable. God needs us all to fully be. The part that you suppress is the part that he wants to use. You know, the part that you hold back is the part that could set somebody free. So I appreciate spaces like this. You know, all of our voices, we're all very different. We are very different. But all of our voices are important. And sometimes when you're in a fishbowl, you lose your identity amongst all the other swimmers, you know, amongst all the other people. We tend to start thinking that, well, maybe I should be swimming like that, or maybe I should be like that. Or you see a bigger fish and you think, maybe I should be like that. But that can also cause you to lose your faith. So I just appreciate God keeping us all in spaces where he's really bigger than we are, that he is God and we can see it. He's real and we know it. All of us are changing and becoming who he created us to be. Like, I realized, I went to my doctor's appointment yesterday. My blood pressure was 110 over 68.
And I know that's right.
Listen, and I said, my doctor, she was like, yep, your blood pressure better than mine. I said, because at this point in my life, I am completely unbothered. Like, I let everybody have their own stuff. Stop carrying other people's stuff. When your life is hard and is stressful and is weighing you down, it is because you have somebody else's stuff. Because we all have a measure of grace and faith. And you have enough faith and grace to do what you have been called to do. You have enough for the life that has been set before you. So give everybody their own stuff. And I promise you'll be less frustrated. And when you're less frustrated, you're least likely to lash out at somebody else.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. First, I want to, again, acknowledge Stephan, who is in here. I love you, Steph.
Love you, Steph.
I appreciate
you today, boss man.
Yeah, we missed you. I appreciate everything you've contributed to the show as a co-host. I love you as my younger brother. And I'm proud of the things you've accomplished as a man. Vince, I've been proud of you and the growth that I've seen in you as a man. Lauren, to see the woman that you've become, the wife. Shonda, to see the way God has used you and will continue to use you, and to see your vision board come into life in real time has been a beautiful thing. You know, sometimes we plant seeds and don't know that we're planting them. Sometimes we start revolutions and didn't know we were starting a revolution. And sometimes we start a podcast without knowing what we're doing, but just starting it because you felt like you had a calling to talk to people. And that's what I started when I did Road to Damascus. I chose Road to Damascus because I felt like it was Paul coming out of his religious time into his relationship with God. And that's what I hope that I've done on the previous 99 episodes, is I've given you material that has drawn you closer to and not farther away from. I hope that we've entertained you, that we've made you laugh, we've made you cry, we've made you think. But most of all, I hope we've drawn you closer to God, because that was always my calling when I started this. This was never about me getting the glory, but God always getting the glory. And the people who have contributed in the past, whether it be Minister Nicole from Ohio, whether it was when Ben Dixon came on the show, you know, God is blessed us, and I just know that doors will continue to open. But I know that I have to stay faithful over little to be a ruler over much, and I just appreciate what God has done with me, for me, and will do in the future for this podcast. You'll be getting more of me, more of the rabbi, more of Lauren, more of Vince and what he's doing, and more of Stephan. But Road to Damascus should be your motto and not just a scripture in the Bible. And with that being said, I just want to thank you all for listening to the 100th episode of Road to Damascus, and just listening to the Road to Damascus in general, where it's not about the road, it's about the journey. Until next time, thank you for listening. We'll be back. God bless, and we're out.